Welcome to the One Wyoming podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Thorburn. Make sure you check out all of my Pokes Insider coverage at gowyo.com. We have a special guest this week, Josh Adams, one of the all-time great Wyoming basketball players. I had a chance to catch up with Josh. He brought his high school team from Colorado to Sundance Wicks camp this summer, and I tracked down the elusive Josh Adams, and he had a lot of great things to say about his career at Wyoming, what he's up to now, his professional career, and what it means to him to be a Poke. So enjoy this, because Josh is an all-time player and motivator, and I know the current Cowboys were able to hear from him as well, and that's going to get their juices going. So here is Mr. Adams. All right, as promised, I'm joined by Josh Adams, Wyoming basketball legend. Josh, you're back in the AA coaching Lutheran High School. First of all, what's it like to be back? And second of all, did you ever think you'd be a coach?
It's always amazing to come back here. Every time I come back, it's that feeling of nostalgia. I get goosebumps every time I'm in this arena. No, I never thought I would be a coach. I kind of fell into this position. I always told people, no way, I'm not going to be a coach. No way, I'm not going to be a coach. No way, I'm not going to be a coach. And here I am coaching at my university. So it's kind of a full circle moment, which is both cool and, you know, I told my players and my fellow coaching staff, this is the only time where I feel like thus far I've wanted to come out of retirement, and it would be to play here again. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, you're at the Wyoming Cowboy basketball team camp, Sundance Wicks camp. Mm-hmm. I can say I watched your team's first game and you were on brand. You're a very intense coach, like you were a player. I guess that's just natural, but playing for Larry Shiat and all the coaches you've played for professionally, especially Shiat, what impact did he have on you? What are things he coached you in that you use as a young coach?
Being yourself, you know, Shy was unapologetically himself, and it was this incredible sense of accountability and intensity, but it came from a place of love. Like every time Shy would get on you, you know it was because he saw something more in you, and that's a philosophy I've kind of taken and tried to, you know, modernize, if you will, because what makes our teams so good winning state last year is that, you know, I kind of hand the reins over to him. You know, we develop an intensity and a culture in practice, and then once it's five guys on the court in between the lines, those are the guys that are out there winning the game. So you got to give them the freedom and the confidence to go out and do it. And then I've obviously implemented some of Coach Sonny's tendencies as well, and I wanted to bring that energy in the AA.
I know that you talked to Sundance's team last year, you know, maybe this time or sometime in the summer last year, and I heard it was pretty intense. You know, they don't build them a lot like you. You know, what message did you get across to those guys, and what do you think of how Sonny's trying to rebuild this program into something special like it was when you were here?
I mean, he's the man for the job, and the difficulty in building a team in the traditional sense, a team that grows together and builds a culture in today's landscape, is so much more difficult than it was when I played. When I played, once you committed, you were committed, and you were committed for the long run, and that is obviously not the case anymore. And with the amount of money that's being thrown around with no real regulation, really, you know, throws a wrench in everybody's plans, especially a school like the University of Wyoming, who's, you know, got such an old school and steep tradition. But there's no better man for the job. Like, Cowboy Tough is what Laramie has preached since before I was here, long before I was here, and that guy embodies it every second of every single day, and I just feel like Cowboy Nation needs to get behind him full steam ahead, you know, no reservations, just buy into the program, whatever that looks like for you. In terms of what my message was to the team, it was basically along those same lines and the same stuff that Sonny talks about in all his videos and in practices. If you want to go the easy way, this is not the place for you. And, you know, if you want something easy, it's not going to be worth it. So you might as well go through the difficult, go through hard.
Well, speaking of that hard journey, when you were in high school, you know, I was actually working in Boulder at the Boulder Camera, covered a lot of CU basketball at that time because Tad Boyle was trying to bring their program back. Right. And I know he had a couple good California guys, Spencer Dinwiddie, Ski Booker, guys like that. But then you play the state championship game in Boulder. And for fans out there, if you haven't watched the game-winning play, I highly suggest it on YouTube. But I thought to myself in that moment, this guy's going to Wyoming? Holy crap. How did you end up at Wyoming and not Colorado, Colorado State, Kentucky?
Wyoming was the biggest school that recruited me. I didn't have a lot of looks coming out of high school, you know, an undersized scoring guard, athletic, but not a great shooter. And Coach Shy saw something in me beyond that jumping ability. He saw what we will respectfully call MF-er. He saw a level of MF-er in me that, you know, kind of matched with his brand and the kind of brand of basketball that he was trying to build at the University of Wyoming. And I came up here to a team camp. It must have been the last one they ran. It wasn't an overnight camp. And I had a couple of plays. And he said, you know, we're going to offer you a scholarship, but I want to go about it the right way and recruit you and talk to your family. So that's really what solidified it.
Yeah, the way that team was built, I mean, Riley Grabo could argue the same thing. He should have been recruited by CU, being a Boulder kid. Larry Nance Jr. obviously grew a lot once he got here, figuratively and literally. But did you guys have a chip on your shoulder from the start, and could you feel that building early in your career?
I had a chip on my shoulder since third grade, man. I wanted to be the best, and no one would give me that credit. And it fueled me my entire career. And when I got an opportunity to play high-level Division I basketball and go against people like CU, CSU, who not only didn't recruit me but didn't recruit my brother, I took that personally. And that carried me a lot of the way through my career. And just the people here in Wyoming and the fans and the coaching staff, the players, were all on that same page. You know, we wanted to prove something. We had a chip on our shoulder. And we wanted to prove that there was some tough MFers up here in Laramie.
I think Larry Nance Jr.'s senior year, you guys were on track for a while there for an at-large bid, and then I can't remember if he was sick or injured, but things fell off down the stretch. You knew you had to win the Mountain West tournament. When you think back, what did it mean to you, not only to make that run in Vegas and win it, but you hit the shot? That had to be – what did that feel like?
You know, it rivals anything that you do in sport, because at that point it was 3 years of work, and it felt like four, because I was one of the only guys that started as a freshman and played with those guys. It was their last year, so I felt like it was our final push. And the situation where we were in, where we were top 25 and we dropped a stupid game, we had a lot of guys sick, and it just was kind of the perfect storm. Again, just ignited that chip on our shoulders that we could go from an at-large bid to, oh, never mind, Wyoming's going to Wyoming. And we got pissed off, and it propelled us through that stretch. But, I mean, that goes into a group of guys that's played together for 3 years.
Obviously, you had all those seniors leave, and you're a junior. You come back for your senior year. Larry Shiat comes back. He could have rode off into the sunset with that Mountain West championship. Mm-hmm. What did that mean to you that he came back, and describe that season? Because obviously, the team didn't get to the highs of the year before, but it's one of the great individual seasons in Wyoming history.
Yeah, I mean, it just speaks volumes to Larry Shiat, and that's why Papa Shiat is probably the best coach that I've ever played for. He promised me during that recruiting process that he would be here 4 years. He not only had the opportunity to ride off into the sunset, but to go and consult at the next level. And bring his talents up to that next level, but he stayed simply out of a promise that he wanted to keep to me, and it turned out to be one of the most influential, you know, seasons in my life that probably propelled me through the rest of my career. But, you know, it meant the world to me, and his ability to just kind of let me go and go play was amazing. You know, it was exactly what I needed. I hope it was what we needed as a young team, and that was back in, you know, the big Mountain West days with the good New Mexico teams, the good San Diego State teams, UNLV teams. So I couldn't have asked for a better senior year. I just wish we could have won more games.
Yeah, and there were so many great games that year. But my favorite was obviously you dropping about 40 in Moby Arena and beating Colorado State. Mm-hmm. Because I remember reading about that game, and Larry Eustace said, what in the hell did the coaches before me do to get this guy at Wyoming and so angry at Colorado State? But You know, Josh Allen, you know, made Twitter go crazy during his jersey retirement when he said it sucks to be a CSU Ram always at War Memorial Stadium. But like you said, you coined that as far as you're the first big-time Wyoming athlete I remember coining that phrase. But what did it mean to you to win at the Pit, to beat Colorado State like a drum and have all those memories?
Oh, it's amazing. I hate CSU. I hate CSU with a passion, man. And, you know, it's nothing necessarily personal. It's personal on the basketball court. But I remember getting in my car accident and multitudes of CSU fans supported me as a Colorado person. So, you know, not personal off the court, but on the court, between the lines, the football field, man, I hate them. And I feel like that's a passion that needs to be sustained as they move into the Pac-12. And I felt the same way about New Mexico. We had never won in New Mexico. Snake was always down on the sideline jaw jacking, which, you know, I love Snake, but in the moment, you know, you want to get those guys, and having the ability to do so, but also to have great games there was sensational. And yeah, to shout out to Josh Allen, but I'm gonna need like an autographed jersey or something for stealing my senior speech.
He did steal that. You mic dropped that one. You touched on it, but 10 years ago, and this is my opinion, I think if everything would have went smoothly after your graduation, I think you would have played in the NBA. I don't know for how long. I think you would have played in the NBA for sure. But you did get in a very serious car accident, and I think that threw things off, obviously physically, but maybe a mental recovery as well. But how did you get over that and go on to have a professional career where you stamped your passport pretty much everywhere?
The same way that I was able to develop such an amazing or fulfilling career here, man, that put a chip on my shoulder when I was third leading scorer in all of college basketball, and I didn't get an opportunity because it was kind of that transitory period where, you know, at the time, point guards still needed to be point guards, and then kind of third or fourth year that I was playing overseas, it kind of had that switch where it was really heavy combo guards. Every point guard could score and shoot and was athletic, and I was just not at that height threshold, and that really bothered me. So coming back from that accident was just prove everybody wrong, and more than anything, prove God right. You know, I was given a second chance. And yeah, I probably could have played in the NBA, but the way I look back on it now is, would I have been able to handle it off the court, mentally, emotionally? Those are a lot of what-if questions that I don't know, and the only thing that I do know is God's plan is supreme, so I went the direction that he wanted me to go.
Yeah, Larry Shyatt mentioned to me that he thinks you're doing great work as far as mental health space. Mm-hmm. I think when you were here at Wyoming, we probably didn't know a lot about that. Can you just describe, I mean, you've gone through a lot, got over a lot, and now you're impacting these high school kids as a coach. What that kind of mission is for you to help young guys with that?
Yeah, it's really drawn on my shortcomings and my mistakes, and how I can help kids to not experience that in their careers and not have, you know, their attitudes get them suspended for a game their senior year for two technicals. I've kind of fell into the coaching role. I took it on as an associate head coach because it fit into my business consulting. I do mental health, so I have my master's in clinical psychology, so I'm a therapist. And then I also do mentorship and consulting for athletes kind of traversing all the different levels. So I work with a variety of kids, from athletes to at-risk youth, and kind of draw on my experiences both at overcoming, you know, really difficult things, you know, some behavioral addictions, car crashes, attitude issues on the court, emotional regulation. And kind of bring that kind of into a sense of do as I say, not as I did type of thing. But these kids and working with these clients and these kids, it teaches you a lot as well, because you see things from a whole different perspective when you work with, you know, a Christian private school in Parker and then kids straight out of the hood of Colorado Springs. So it brings a lot of perspectives, but the mission is just to help people, man, to be an olive branch and to show God's light through me.
We're taping this between games here at Wyoming Cowboy Basketball Camp, and you're going to be on the court in a few minutes here, but I want to end on this note. You're going into the Wyoming Athletics Hall of Fame September 11th. You just became eligible. You're a no-brainer, obviously, but what does that mean to you to be in that group?
words can't express it to me because I fought so hard here. It means everything to be a Cowboy to me, and that's never left my spirit. Like, it's in my blood, it's in my veins. So to kind of be immortalized here and recognized for not the results, but the hard work and the love and the dedication that I felt for this university, and the love and dedication I felt from people, is just like validation. And it's kind of unique that I'm going in on September 11th, where, you know, a Hall of Fame induction is the second thing on our minds. Even 25 years after those two towers fell, that still has to take precedence for those families that were lost, and the military members who went and fought for our freedom following it. So it's kind of bittersweet in that sense, but man, it means the absolute world to me, and that's why I have Steamboat tattooed on me. It'll always be with me.
Josh, thanks so much for coming on the One Wyoming podcast. We appreciate it, and if you want to send us off with your mic drop, go ahead.
You already know, it will always suck to be a CSU Ram. Pac-12 or Mountain West will never get better.
All right, everyone, thanks for tuning in. It was great to catch up with Josh Adams, Wyoming legend. He will be going into the Wyoming Athletics Hall of Fame on September 11th, and that is well-deserved. Make sure you subscribe at Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll talk to you soon.